Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Mem Vav 46. We're finishing, God willing, today the fourth parak of Yuma. Tomorrow we'll begin the fifth parak, obviously. The topic of the fourth parak has been the selection of the Seirim. The goats, there are two goats that are going to be running Yom Kippur, and they're going to be assigned by lottery. Kohen Gadol is going to pick out of a box two lottery tickets. One is going to determine the status. Each one of them is going to determine the status of each one of the goats. That was the primarily the topic of the fourth parak, and then the Gemara turned its attention. And these last two dapim, daf mem vav, is a topic of discussion of the maracha, the fires that are on the top of the mizbeach. Yesterday, we saw a braisa that brought in three opinions in terms of how many marachos, how many fires were on the top of the mizbeach. Your options are 2, 3, or 4. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. So, and as you look over here on the top of the mizbeach, as charted on this on the board behind me, so we have three over here. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi, as I mentioned yesterday. That the Rambam adopts that shita, which that there are three. What are the three? So the three are, number one, the Maarech HaGedolah, the main, meaning that's where the limbs are going to be sent after the Kashchitas HaKarban and Zrikas HaDam. The limbs are going to be brought to the top of the Mizbech. The fats are going to be brought on the top of the Mizbech and placed on the Maarech HaGedolah, on the main pyre. The main pyre, after they burnt and after they're reduced to ash, they're then moved to the Tapuach, to the center of the Mizbech, where you're going to have a mound of ashes, and then over the course of the day, the week, or how as needed, so you're going to have Hotzah Sadesh, and they're going to take it out, take it off the Mizbeach. Every morning there's a mitzvah of Chumah Sadeshin to take one shovel full of the ash and to drop it and deposit it next to the ramp, the east side of the ramp. But that's a separate mission. That's a separate mitzvah of Chumah Sadeshin. So that is the first maracha. The second maracha is maracha, the maracha shnia, right? Or the Gemara also refers to it as maracha ketores. This is where the fire is created over here is for the coals, where they're going to be a shovel full of coals that's taken every day. Off the top here, brought down the ramp into the Heichal and deposited on the Mizbech HaZahav and put onto the gold Mizbech inside. There, they're going to burn the Ketores once in the morning and once in the afternoon. So that's a Maarech HaShnia. And then there's going to be a third Maarech, which is Yesh Tamid, meaning that that's going to be the constant fire that's on the Mizbech. Rashi points out in yesterday's daf that if the Maarech HaGedolah needs any additional fire, let's say this is dimming or going out, so you take from the Yesh Tamid, the Maarech Yesh Tamid. That is all that's the daily three fires according to Rav Yossi. On Yom Kippur, there's a fourth fire that's added. Why do we have a fourth fire that's added on Yom Kippur? So yesterday I quoted the Rambam. The Rambam says because of the Kedushas Yom HaKippurim. So in order to acknowledge the extra cover that comes out of the Kedushas Yom HaKippurim, so an additional fire was made. And with that fire, the Kohen Gadol will take the panful of coals to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, which is how we're going to start off tomorrow's daf. That's the discussion of tomorrow's daf. Good. Okay, that's all according to Rabbi Yossi, which is the middle position, which is the adopted position. Fine. Today's daf, primarily, will be focusing on the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, if you remember yesterday's daf, Rabbi Meir said that daily there are four fires that are on the top of the Mizbech. Bechol Yom, if you take a look back at yesterday's daf, in the middle of Mem Hamad Aleph, so Rabbi Meir says, Bechol Yom Arba. V'hayom chamesh, every day there are going to be four, and today there's going to be five. Achash ha-maracha gedola. So again, so now what are the four according to Rabbi Meir? So I'm just reviewing yesterday's daf, just to get us set up for today. Achash ha-maracha gedola. So the one is the main fire. Achash ha-maracha shnir shekitaris. And the second one is the coals for the kitaris, the burning of the kitaris. Good, so far same. Achash ha-kiyum ha-esh, that's the esh tamid fire. That's also, we just discussed. And what's the fourth one? And now there's an additional fire for yesterday's karbanos. Meaning that yesterday we also offered karbanos. We offer karbanos every day in the base of Mekdash. And if yesterday's karbanos, let's say, the limbs were not ma'ukal, they're not totally consumed by the fire, and I still have limbs of animals on the mizbech from yesterday's karbanos, so then what we're going to do is we're going to put them on the fourth fire on the mizbech. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Yeah, and I guess it gets switched to the fourth, so that the main fire will be available for today's, and this now fourth, this extra bonfire on the top of the mizbeach is going to be for yesterday's karbanos. That is the that is according to Rebbe Meir. Fine. Okay, the Gemara pointed out yesterday that of the three shitas, there's two common denominators. One common denominator is that there's the main fire and there's the fire of the Kataris. That's one common denominator. And the other one is that everyone also agrees on Yom Kippur, there's an additional fire that's placed. All right. Just one other point to go over. Okay, we start today's daf. We're in Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and we're starting from the very top of the Amud, Amar Rav Elazar, two lines from the top. Amar Rav Elazar, Mishum Bar Kapara, Omer Hayir Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara quotes Rav Elazar, quotes Bar Kapara, who says that Rav Meir would say the following. So again, we are focusing on Chitos Rabbi Meir, that there are four fires daily on the top of the Mizbech. Evari Olish and Itosru, that if I have any limbs of the carbonola that are left over from yesterday, so I make for them a new fire, visodron, and I place the limbs on the new fire, the afil b'shabbos, and even if this were to recur on Shabbos. Okay. Meaning that this is done even on Shabbos. Okay. That's a mouthful, meaning that's a statement within Rabbi Meir. The Gemara is going to note, did we learn anything new from the statement of Rav Elazar? Meaning Rav Elazar is quoting Bar Kapara, who says that this is what Rav Meir says, but truth be told, what have we learned that's new? Meaning you go back to yesterday's daf and you read Rabbi Meir, meaning everything that we just said within Shitas Rabbi Meir is being said right now.
So, it's a different word instead of Shitas, though. You use it different. Because here you don't know, it doesn't sound like they want to, it could have been another fire.
Okay, maybe.
Well, the other one they say was rejected.
Okay, I hear that. Okay, certainly a possibility. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, meaning the Gemara is going to be bothered. Meaning, good, you just quoted Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir says. What do you mean you're quoting Rabbi Meir? Meaning, just from yesterday. In other words, just a simple review of yesterday's daf, and you realize that we don't seem to have any new information. So the Gemara asks the question, what are you coming to teach me? Meaning, if you go back to yesterday, and you go back to the brayso that we saw yesterday, it's exactly what Rabbi Meir says, that b'chol yom hayusham arba marachos, there are four marachos. So, I get it. So, Amar Rabbi Avin, lo nitzrucha ela lepsulin. So the Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush in what we're saying now in Rabbi Meir. And that is the following. Let's say the carbon in question from yesterday is no longer good, meaning it's disqualified for whatever reason. The Gemara doesn't say. But in other words, but let's say it's pasul. Now, a pasul carbon, should it even go on the Mizbech to begin with? No. No. Pasul carbon should not go on the Mizbech. However, we learned back in Zvachim, it's the 8th parak or 9th parak, I forget. But, I mean, not totally. I have, I'm in the ballpark. But the Gemara in Zvachim says that there are certain psulim, certain disqualified carbonos, im alu, if they go up onto the Mizbech, lo yardu, you don't bring them down. Meaning that the Mizbech has a certain tolerance, if you will, that carbonos which shouldn't have gone up there, but once they're up there, they don't come down. That's the Mishnah in Zvachim. So meanwhile, what our Gemara now is saying is that within Chitos Rabbi Meir, I'll tell you, this fourth pyre that's on the Mizbech for sure is there to burn the carbonos that were from yesterday, the carbonos that are ksherim. But the additional chiddush that we're saying now is that even those that are psulim, we're still going to make a fourth pyre, even if all that we're burning is going to be the psulim, even if we don't even have kasher. Lo nitzrucha ela psulim. The Gemara, however, further qualifies v'dafka shemashla behema or, but that's only if they started burning started catching fire from the previous day. Avol mashla behema or lo, but not if they didn't catch fire at all. Meaning to start a fire from scratch, to make this fourth pyre from scratch, and all I'm going to be doing is burning psulim, carbon psul, and it hasn't been burning at all in the mizbech. That to that degree we won't do. But the Gemara says, but that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Meir. Ikadarmi, the Gemara has a slightly different version of this discussion. Echek Chirim v'Echek Psulim, Imashal Mema Or, In V'Yilo Lo. Whether the carbon is kosher, whether the carbon is pasul, doesn't matter. Meaning the only way that we can justify making a fourth pyre is only if they started catching fire, but not if they didn't start catching fire at all, to burn yesterday's carbonos that haven't been burnt at all, And to make a new pyre for that, the Gemara says that we're not going to do. Okay, so that is all point number one. So again, Rabbi Meir says that there's a fourth pyre on the top of the Mizbech. The Gemara here quotes Rabbi Elazar, quoting Bar Kapara, quoting Rabbi Meir. The Gemara basically saying the same point. Gemara says, what's the Chiddush? So Chiddush number one is that even if the carbon is pasul, and even if all we're doing is making the pyre for the carbon, which is pasul, I still will be allowed to make the fourth pyre to burn pasul carbon. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, chiddush number two, the afilu b'shabbos. Meaning, the Gemara here on the top of our Amud quoted Rebbe Elazar, quoting Bar Kappara, quoting Rabbi Meir, says that you make this fourth pyre even on Shabbos. Now, Tanina. Now, the Gemara says this too is not much of a chiddush. Now, before we say it's not a chiddush, first let's argue it's a big chiddush. Meaning, what are we essentially saying? That come Shabbos, I can make a fourth pyre on the top of the Mizbeach so we can burn yesterday's karbanos. Now, Shabbos. Right, Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha. Now, when we say you're not allowed to do malacha, we know for sure that you're allowed to bring today's karbanos. The karban tamid today, you're allowed to bring. That's a given, meaning that we know. The Torah says regarding the karban tamid, b'moado. B'moado means it's designated time. When it comes to the karban tamid is brought every single day. So the offering of the karban tamid on Shabbos, that's a no-brainer. Of course you're allowed to do that. That's not even up for discussion. But what we're saying now is that yesterday's karbanos, we're talking about Friday's karban tamid. Let's even still talk about the tamid shel bein arba'in. Understandably, right, we can imagine that it wasn't totally burnt on Friday. So what we're saying now is, come Shabbos, I can, on Shabbos, make a totally new fire, which is a malacha, to burn yesterday's karbanos. Again, to make a fire to burn today's karbanos, not even up for discussion. Of course you can do that. That's b'moado. But to make a fire to burn yesterday's karbanos, right, that's a chiddush, meaning that that's something that we can understand as being a novel idea. So let's start off. I mean, before the Gemara says that, we knew that. Let's start off by saying that is a big chiddush, to make a new fire on Shabbos to burn yesterday's karbanos.
Is it just a new fire or just a...
No, what the Rabbi Meir is saying is that you could create a new fire. In other words, if for whatever reason the fourth fire does not exist on the Mizbeach, you can actually make a totally new fire for the singular purpose of burning yesterday's karbanos, which is a big chiddush.
What about just the process of burning? If you have the fire of Maravid
Gadolah, if burning something also is a malacha, meaning
Agreed.
So the Gemara wants to now. What the Gemara is going to discuss is it's not such a chiddush. We knew that already. But before we get to that point, I'm just explaining. Before that, no, it is a big chiddush to make a new fire on Shabbos just for the purpose of burning yesterday's karbanos. Now the Gemara. So let's go see the Gemara inside of Afilu b'Shabbos. So again, the statement of Rav Elazar quoting Rabbi Meir is that this fourth fire on the top of the Mizbech could be done even on Shabbos. Now, granted, that wasn't said yesterday. Meaning, when we quoted Rabbi Meir yesterday, he didn't say even on Shabbos. Now, but the Gemara points out, even though he didn't say it, he said it. It's clear. And the Gemara says, you know, he said it. How do we know that? My kamash malan tanina bechol yom hayusham arba marachos. I'm sorry, I read that. I apologize. Let's go. Ve'afilu b'Shabbos tanina v'hayom chamesh. On Yom Kippur, how many pyres are on the top of the Mizbeach? Five. Now, Yom Kippur, what status does Yom Kippur have? Yom Kippur has Shabbos status. So in other words, whatever you can't do on Yom Kippur, you can't do on Shabbos, and vice versa. Whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you can't do on Yom Kippur. Now, if I have five fires on Yom Kippur, so again, the fifth one isn't even the one we're focusing on. The fifth one is a special maracha that's on Yom Kippur. And for that, we're going to take the coals to bring into Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that's not even our focus. If we have a fifth, what does that mean? It means we have a fourth. So you're making a fourth fire on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur has Shabbos status. I'm making the fourth fire. What's the purpose of the fourth fire? To burn yesterday's karbanos. So even though Rabbi Meir didn't say Afilu b'Shabbos, but you know what? It's pretty clear. Afilu b'Shabbos. So why do I need Rabbi Elazar to come and tell me that Rabbi Meir allows us to make the fourth fire on the top of the Mizbech, even on Shabbos, when if you go back to yesterday's daf, that also was clear. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Acha, Rav Yaakov Itzterich Sakadat Chaimina Hanimi Lehechad Dechal Yom Kippurim Liyos Achar Shabbos Dechav Shabbos Kraven B'Yom Kippurim Avah Be'em So Shabbos Lo Kamash Malan." So the Gemara says, "No, because if we only had Rabbi Meir left to our own devices, we would have suggested the following. Well, you know, Rabbi Meir does allow you to make the fourth fire in Yom Kippur, but you know what? Let's limit that halacha. Maybe that's only in the case where Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday." Okay, which I'll discuss in just a moment, how that can happen. But maybe it's a case where Yom Kippur comes out on a Sunday, and then what do we have? Obviously, Yom Kippur followed immediately after Shabbos. So now, what was yesterday's karban? Yesterday's karban was a Shabbos karban. So maybe we are justified burning yesterday's karban, meaning the Shabbos karban, on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur and Shabbos, same status. Maybe that we'll be entitled to do. But if Yom Kippur comes out any other day, meaning not Sunday, but any other day of the week, Maybe in Achinami, maybe Rav Meir would not allow you to burn yesterday's carbon on today, meaning on Yom Kippur, because it's Yom Kippur. I can't. What am I doing? Today's avoda I could do, but yesterday's avoda maybe not. And maybe what we would have entertained is this idea that if Yom Kippur comes out any other day of the week, I would not be making the fourth fire on Yom Kippur because I cannot burn yesterday's carbon today. That's why I need Rav Elazar, according to Bar Kappara, to tell me that even if Yom Kippur falls out any day of the week, I can make the fourth fire. I will be making the fourth fire, even Yom Kippur, even on Shabbos, to burn yesterday's carbon. Ad kan. That is Bar Kappara's understanding of Rabbi Meir. Just as an aside, the Gemara here just entertained the idea that Yom Kippur is falling out on a Sunday, right? We have a fixed calendar, right? So, and one of our rules with regarding the fixed calendar, we have a couple of rules in terms we have rules. I mean, the calendar was fixed, so we just follow the rules. But one of the rules that we follow is Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out neither on a Sunday nor on a Wednesday nor on a Friday. So, over the course of our lifetime, we will never see the first day of Rosh Hashanah fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. Why not? So one of the reasons why is because the Chachamim did not want Yom Kippur to fall out neither on a Friday nor on a Sunday. Right? So if you do the calendar, if you figure out the calendar, you'll see that if Yom Kippur were to fall out either on a Wednesday or on a Friday, so essentially what's going to happen then is that, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday or on a Friday, so then what's going to happen then is Yom Kippur is going to fall out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. And the Chachamim wanted to avoid that. Any guesses? Anyone know why the Chachamim wanted to avoid that? Yom Kippur not fall on Friday and Sunday? Because then you're going to have back-to-back Shabbos. You're going to have Shabbos, meaning Yom Kippur has Shabbos status, and so that means I'll have Shabbos. I'll have basically two Shabboses in a row. And why is that? Why is that so offensive? Why is that so not offensive? That's not the right word. But why is that something that we want to avoid? So burial. Right? Burial is really the chief consideration. On Yontif, so you're allowed to bury, right? How do you do it on Yontif? So we're going to see in the beginning of Masechta Beitza. So if it's Yontif Rishon, so you ask a non-Jew to bury. If it's Yontif Sheni, so you're allowed to bury yourself. Okay. Well, in other words, we'll get to the burial on Yontif. Burial on Shabbos, there's no heter, meaning there's simply no heter for burying on Shabbos. So if I have Yom Kippur and Shabbos back to back, so that now is 48 hours without burial. Now, go back in time, which is not that long ago, where there was no refrigeration. So 48 hours without burial, that's, you know, it's... Yeah, so that, right. So that, good, Hedy, you brought me to the point which, you know, I don't have the answer to, but it's clear what the Gemara is entertaining is that before the calendar was set, so there was a certain amount of flexibility, meaning Rosh Chodesh is whenever Rosh Chodesh was. Granted that there was manipulation. When we get to Masechta Rosh Hashanah, we're going to see this. There was they did have an allowance to manipulate exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. I mean, their ability to manipulate wasn't that great. I mean, it's Rosh Chodesh can either be one day or the other, either on the 30th or on the 31st day of the month. So it's not that great of a manipulation. But okay. But in other words, but right. Before the calendar was set, and you see this clearly from the Gemara over here, where the Gemara is entertaining the idea that Yom Kippur falls on a Sunday, so then, I don't know, meaning that's strange, because when the calendar was set, you see that they avoided that, you know, from 1700 years ago, when they set the calendar to today, till as long as the calendar will go, they obviously avoided it, so why didn't they avoid it before the calendar was set? I'm not sure. I'm not clear. Agreed. That... Well, the last 1800 years were fine because they never happened. No. Before that, prior to that, I don't know. Right, that's the right question. I set up the question knowing that I don't have a good answer, but I did that. But that's fine. In other words, I don't mind, you know, raising issues which I don't have resolutions for. But it's definitely an issue. Okay. Anyway, we should know this. One of the things, right? So Rosh Hashanah can't fall on a Wednesday or on a Friday. What about Sunday? Why did the Chachamim not want Rosh Hashanah to fall out on Sunday? All right. So the answer, right? The answer is we've done this before. So the answer is Hoshana Rabbah, meaning that because if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday, so then go now. 2 weeks later, no, I'm sorry, 3 weeks later, and you're going to hit Hoshana Rabbah. Now, Hoshana Rabbah is then going to fall out on a Shabbos, Right? If Rosh Hashanah falls on Sunday, so Hoshana Rabbah will fall out on a Shabbos. And the problem with that then is that we're going to lose our minhag of Hoshana Rabbah, meaning we're not going to be able to do the Aravos. So, and that's a, right, the Gemara refers to that as a minhag Nevi'im. Right? It's an old minhag. It came to us through Nevuah. Okay?
So again,
Hedy, we're back to the same question, and you know I'm not going to be able to answer it, but that's the right question. Meaning, again, prior to that, in other words, I mean, the Gemara, right? Yeah, good. It's the right question. I don't know. I don't know. All right, let's leave it off as it's a good question. I'm not really sure. Okay, anyway, good. So what do we have right now? So again, let's just quickly recap. We have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says there's a fourth pyre. We have Bar Kappara. And Bar Kappara is telling us that Rabbi Meir allows us to make the fourth pyre. The purpose of the fourth pyre is to burn yesterday's karbanos. And what Bar Kappara is now arguing is that you do this even on Shabbos. And that's a big chiddush, because on Shabbos I'm burning yesterday's karbanos. Yesterday's karbanos, which really should have been burned yesterday, for whatever reason they weren't. Bar Kappara is telling us that according to Rabbi Meir, I could set it up on Shabbos to burn yesterday's karbanos. I guess you go, in other words, on Maracha Gedola. In other words, you don't make a separate fire for yesterday's karbanos.
Why Rabbi Meir requires that?
I don't know. That's another good question. He doesn't give a source. Neither yesterday's daf nor today's daf. Does he give a source for his position? Okay, good. That's all step one of today's daf. That was the easy part. The next half an amud of Gemara is a little bit complicated. It's not so bad. And what makes it complicated is that there are going to be a number of approaches of how to approach this Gemara. We're going to stick with Rashi. So for us in daf yomi, it won't be that complicated. If you want to do more in depth, Tosfos has a different approach and makes it more complicated. But right now we'll just go with Rashi, and that's our general format. Amar Vacher by Yaakov Itzrich Sakadat Chamin. I read that. I'm sorry. Amar Rava. Okay. Amar Rava. Man Haydel Ochaish Lekemche. So Rava says, look, I'm still not buying. Meaning Rava says to Bar Kappara, You're saying that according to Rav Meir you could do even on Shabbos, and what about the Brice and yesterday's daf? So the Bar Kappara says, I might have thought. And what was the Havamina? I might have thought that the only time that I'm going to make the fourth pyre is only when Yom Kippur followed immediately after Shabbos. So Amar Rava, what are you talking about? Mandalo Chayish Lekimche. You know, in other words, you're grinding. You're not even looking at what you grind. There's an expression, we see it often in the Gemara. It basically means you're not thinking. You're simply not thinking. Habichol yom tanan. So because if you go back to yesterday's daf, what did Rabbi Meir say? Bichol yom, every single day. There are going to be four fires. And every single day, of course, includes Shabbos. Of course, includes Yom Kippur. And irrespective of what the configuration is, every day there are going to be four fires. Period. End of discussion. So... No. It's not an amor against the Tana. It's Rav is simply saying to Bar Kappara, like, I never would have had, your Havamin, I never would have had. Because Rav Meir says clearly, Bechol Yom, it's done every day. So, Rav is an Amora. Rav is not arguing, Rav is just simply saying, when Rabbi Meir allows you to make the fourth fire, it is every single day. He says, Bechol Yom. So Bar Kappara's thought, his Havamin, his initial thought, that maybe Rabbi Meir was only talking about a case where Yom Kippur immediately falls after Shabbos. Like, who would have thought that? Nobody would have thought that. Well, now when Rabbi Meir says, Bechol Yom. Okay, period. Meaning, so what do we have right now? Let's line it up. We have two Amorim, Bar Kappara and Rava. Now, they don't disagree. Meaning, Rava is critical of Bar Kappara, but only of his Havamina. But the truth of the matter is, they really don't disagree. Both of them maintain that according to Rabbi Meir, you're allowed to make the fourth fire, even though the whole purpose of the fourth fire is to burn yesterday's karbanos, and even on Shabbos. It's clear, meaning that's exactly what Rabbi Meir says. And you're allowed to do that even on Shabbos, even though all you're doing is burning yesterday's karbanos. Okay.
How did they keep yesterday's karbanos?
You shouldn't. In other words, it should have been burned yesterday. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to burn it on the day, but in the event that it wasn't, so then you burn it the next day. In other words, with the burning of karbanos, there's flexibility. The zrikas adam, we know, has to be done that day. But the burning of the carbon, there is a, as long as it's on top of the mizbeach, so then there's no disqualification, there's no lina. Fine.
The burning has to be initiated, but then
right.
The burning was initiated.
Correct. It's not correct. Well, that's right. That's what the Gemara said. That's what the Gemara just got done saying. That according to the second version, if it wasn't initiated, so then no, then you can't do it. Okay, but fine. Upligi de Rav Huna. Now these positions, meaning the position of Bar Kappara, the position of Rava, argues with Rav Huna. Rav Huna disagrees. Now Rav Huna also is an Amara, but okay, but he can argue, and he's going to argue. We're going to pit him against Rava and Bar Kappara. The Amar Tchilaso Doche Sofa Eino Doche. He says that Tchilaso is Doche, but Sofa Eino Doche. Now our terms of the Gemara of Tchilaso and Sofa, I'm going to explain it like Rashi, like I mentioned earlier. We're just going to go through the Gemara like Rashi. Tchilaso means the beginning of the avoda, the shechting of the karban, the zrikas adam. That's tchilaso. Sofo, that's your concluding avoda, which is the burning of the limbs, the burning of the fats. But here in this context, in our discussion, sofo means yesterday's karbanos, meaning the end of yesterday's karbanos. Tchilaso, when it comes to the shechting of today's karban, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And by the way, consequently, you're also allowed to burn today's karbanos as well. That goes without saying. Sofo, in our context, means yesterday's karbanos. Yesterday's karbanos, I cannot burn today on Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Obviously, Rav Huna disagrees with Bar Kappara and Rava. Gufa. The Gemara says, now let's go back to the statement of Rav Huna. Agufa am Rav Huna, tamid tchilaso doche sofein adoche. Okay? So he says, when it comes to the karban tamid, tchilaso, again, tchilaso means the shechting, the zrika sadam. That's going to override the Shabbos. Sofo eino doche. Now, what does that mean, sofo eino doche? Now, it's a funny question to ask. We just got done explaining what it means. Sofo eino doche means, in the context that we just mentioned three lines ago in the Gemara, means yesterday's karbanos, Friday's karbanos, I cannot burn today on Shabbos. That's the way we described it just a moment ago. Well, the Gemara is going to kind of like almost like refresh itself and basically say, what does it mean? Meaning, there may be another possibility of what it means. Sofa no doche. Maya no doche. Rav Chista Amar, doche sa Shabbos, ve'eno doche sa Tuma. So Rav Chista says, you know what it means? It means that it's doche sa Shabbos, it will override the Shabbos, but it will not override Tuma. Rabba Amar, we'll see, just give me a moment, we'll see. Rabba Amar, doche sa Tuma, ve'eno doche sa Shabbos. No, it's going to override Tuma, but it won't override Shabbos. So in other words, this line of Rav Huna, that regarding the Karban Tamid, the Tchila is going to override Shabbos. There's nothing to talk about, meaning we understand what that means. It means that you're allowed to shecht and bizarg the blood of the Karban Tamid of Shabbos on Shabbos. That's clear. But when he says that the Sofo is not Doche, it's not going to override. So not going to override, what the Gemara is laying out now is that there are two possibilities of what it's not going to override. Either it's not going to override Shabbos, or it's not going to override Tuma, and the Gemara now is presenting, this is a Machlokas Amoraim, exactly what Rav Huna meant. So we have a statement of Rav Huna, and then a sub-Machlokas Amoraim between Rav Chista and Rabba, between Rav Chista and Rabba, exactly what Rav Huna meant. Okay, now let's take it apart. Let's go step by step. Amarle Abaye la Rabba. Liditcha kasha ulor chista kasha. Look, you're difficult, and truth be told, Rav Chista is also difficult. Liditcha kasha, let's start with you. Maishna tuma dichsi b'ma'oda ve'afilu b'tuma. So, Shabbos nami b'ma'oda ve'afilu b'shabbos. Look, what you're saying is that the sofo can override tuma. Meaning that if the Jewish people are in a state of Tumah, if the Kohanim are in a state of Tumah, if the Kli Sharis are in a state of Tumah, so as we learned, we've seen this time and again throughout, we saw this in length in Pesachim, back in Masechta Pesachim, is that even though you're normally not allowed to bring carbon in a state of Tumah, you're not even allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, but if it's for the purpose of carbon seabor, we get a break. I don't know how you want to call it, get a break. You're allowed to bring the carbon in a state of Tumah. Tumah is dechuya, right? The laws of Tumah are pushed away for the purposes of bringing a carbon seabor. That's a fair point. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. So b'mo'ado afilu b'tumah. So the carbon, the Torah regarding the carbon tum, it says that you bring it b'mo'ado in its prescribed time, and that's afilu b'tumah. That's even in a state of tumah. Fine. So that means then that you're allowed to burn the limbs of a carbon even in a state of tumah. Shabbos nami b'mo'ado v'afilu b'shabbos. So as much as we had license to burn the carbon, even though we're all in a state of tumah, don't we have the same license to burn the tamid? Because the Torah allows us to do that afilu b'shabbos. So that's question against Rabba. Well, the Rav Chista, Kasha. And according to Rav Chista, it's also difficult. Maishna Shabbos, diksib b'mo'ado, afilu b'shabbos. Tumanami b'mo'ado, v'afilu b'tumah. Okay, so don't we have the same exact issue regarding Rav Chista? Meaning that it's going to override, it's going to override Shabbos, and it's going to override Tumah as well.
The idea that your carbon Pesach could be shucked on Shabbat, and if there's Tumah, it also overrides that also. It's a double header now.
Well, and the Gemara right now is pointing out that both the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Tumah are going to be overridden when it comes to carbon Sibur. Meaning carbon Sibur is going to override both. So this statement of Rav Huna that Sofo is not going to override. So again, and the Rav Huna by himself is not a problem. The problem is these Amarayim, meaning Rav Chista and Rabba, who are basically cutting it, slicing up that statement. Well, it's not going to override Tumah, but it's going to override Shabbos. Well, it's going to override Shabbos, it's not going to override Tumah. In other words, it's either or. It's a package deal. The carbon Sibur is going to override both. So how could you take the statement to Rav Huna and basically cut it up?
When we talk about carbon Pesach, the people are Tumah. Here we're talking about what?
It doesn't matter. Meaning vis-a-vis the laws of Tumah, if the people are Tumah, if the Kohanim are Tumah, if the carbon's Tumah, in other words, yeah, it's the same story. It can override. So Amar Lei, Loli Didi Kasha, V'Loli Rav Chista Kasha. So Rabbi explains to his student, look, we're all fine. Meaning I can explain my position, I can explain Rav Chista's position. So, it's fine. Lidi di lokashia, sofa kischilasa. Look, let's start off with me. Meaning, I'm arguing that yesterday's carbon can be burnt today, and sofos kischilasa. Tuma de tchilasa bar mitche, tumahu, I'm sorry, bar mitche tumahu, sofonami dachi. Look. Here's my story. It's a very simple story. This is Rabba's explaining his position. Let's start off with Tumah. Let's have a discussion about Tumah. If the Kohanim are Tameh, if the people are Tameh, if the carbon itself is Tameh, it's a carbon Sibur. You're allowed to bring a carbon Sibur in a state of Tumah. That which means that you're allowed to shecht in a state of Tumah, you're allowed to sprinkle the blood in a state of Tumah, and you burn in a state of Tumah. Meaning it's all the same. So my idea, what I'm arguing is that the statement of Rav Huna that Sofo is not going to be Dochet, that's only regarding Shabbos. But regarding Tumah, the Torah gives us an allowance to offer carbon that's in the state of Tumah. So, and that's why when it comes to Tumah, we're not going to make any distinctions. Whether we're at the beginning of the Avodah, we're at the end of the Avodah, meaning the Torah allows it. But now let's talk about Shabbos. De tchilaso lav bar mitche Shabbosu, Sofo nami lo dachi. Now, remember, we're not talking about the carbon of Shabbos. That's not our discussion, because as we pointed out in the beginning of the whole discussion, obviously the Torah allows you to bring Shabbos' carbon tamid on Shabbos. That's b'mo'ado. We're talking about Friday's carbon. Now, let's start off with a simple question. If for whatever reason we didn't shecht Friday's carbon on Friday, can I shecht Friday's carbon on Shabbos? No, obviously not. So in other words, you're talking about now the burning of the limbs of Friday's carbon on Shabbos. I can't shecht Friday's carbon on Shabbos, so I can't burn the limbs of Friday's carbon on Shabbos as well. So Rabbi says, that's me. That's my position. So there's a real easy reason why we're going to make a distinction between Tumah versus Shabbos. Tumah, the Torah gives an allowance. Done. And we're going to allow the shechting, the zrikas adam, the burning of the limbs, meaning all that will be allowed. But vis-a-vis Shabbos, no. I can't shecht Friday's carbon on Shabbos. I can't burn Friday's carbon on Shabbos as well. That's me. And as far as Rav Chista is concerned, I'll explain him as well. And Rav Chista lo kasha. And in a moment of intellectual honesty, like I can explain to you how Rav Chisda would work. So for kitchilaso, so leis le Shabbos. I'm sorry. Sofa kitchilaso leisle. He doesn't hold to sofa kitchilaso. Why not? Because Shabbos duhutra he betzibor sofa nami dachi tuma. The dechui b'tzibor tchilas the dikur kapar dachi sofa the lavikur kapar lo dachi, and look, Rav Chisda also makes a lot of sense because let's start with Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos. When the Torah allows me to bring the carbon tamid on Shabbos, is the Torah saying it's totally mutter, or is the Torah saying I prefer not, but the carbon tzibor is so important that the Torah kind of like. Makes room for the allowance of offering the carbon tamid. So we've said this time and again regarding the carbon tamid on Shabbos. Hutra, the Torah totally allows it, meaning it's not at all an issue. It's not the Torah's like carving out space for the bring of the carbon. The Torah is saying on Shabbos you bring the carbon tamid. So the concept of carbon tamid on Shabbos is totally allowed. So now what Rav Chisda is going to argue is, once there's a total heter, so even yesterday's carbon, which we shechted yesterday, but the burning of yesterday's carbon can be done on Shabbos as well. That's why Rav Chisda says that he doesn't see a problem at all with the burning of yesterday's carbon today on Shabbos, because it's hutra. But now let's move to Tumah. Tumah, now again, this is not universally accepted, and this is what Ben was referring to just a moment ago, but Tumah's dechuya, it's pushed off. Meaning, the Torah says, look, generally speaking, you're not allowed to bring carbon in the state of Tumah. But it's a carbon seabor. It's important. You know what? Bikoshi. With difficulty, you want to bring a carbon seabor in the state of Tumah, so the Torah begrudgingly says it's okay. But that's begrudging. Now, what difference does it make whether it's begrudging or not begrudging? So the difference is, I'll try to minimize the amount of avoda that we can do. When it comes to shechting and zrikas adam, those are necessary aspects of the carbon. Meaning the kapara is achieved through shechting and zrikas adam. Fine. After that point in time, it's gravy. Now,
you gotta do it.
Okay, right. In other words, I'm not sure if gravy is the best way. Right. I'm not sure if gravy is the best way to describe it. But in other words, that's not ikur kapara. So it's not ikur kapara, and the Torah is only making, begrudgingly saying it's okay, so that's why, once we've done the zrika, after that, you know what, don't do it. We're all in the state of tumah, let's not do it. And that's an explanation of Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, good. So Rabbah says, look, I hear my position, and I hear Rav Chisda's position. And it's fair, it's legitimate to make a distinction between tumah versus Shabbos. In other words, what happens is that he'll let it become disqualified, and he'll burn it, but not on the mizbech, somewhere else. He'll discard it. Okay, quick summary, and then we'll quick review of what we just saw, and then we'll finish the parable. Okay, so again, our big discussion today was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that every day there's a fourth pyre on the mizbech. The purpose of the fourth pyre on the mizbech is to burn yesterday's karbanos. The Bar Kapar and Rava say that's done even on Shabbos, even though I'm burning yesterday's karban, but I'm going to be burning yesterday's karban even on Shabbos. The statement of Rav and Bar Kapara, however, is controversial. And who argues with that statement of Rav and Bar Kapara? Ostensibly Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, no, that on Shabbos I don't have a right. I don't have a legitimate right to burn yesterday's karban. And then the Gemara went back to the statement of Rav Huna and had a machlokus between Rav Chisda and Rabbah in terms of what exactly Rav Huna says you're not allowed to do. Is it that you're not allowed to burn? Is it that it's not going to override the Shabbos, or is it that you're not going to override Tumah? That's a machlokus between Rav Chisda and Rabbah. And the Gemara says, I can understand both positions. Okay, fine. Adkan. Meaning that takes us through...
This is all within the opinion of Rav Meir, right?
And this is all an analysis of the position of Rav Meir, which I guess is somewhat funny because... That's not the accepted position. The accepted position is like Rabbi Yossi. Okay.
But Rabbi Yossi said that you could burn it just on existence.
Yeah, in other words, right. Correct. In other words, meaning, right. I was wondering the same thing myself. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi, I'm not going to make a new fire for yesterday's carbon, but there's still an issue of burning it. Which is still going to be a malacha. Right? Burning something on Shabbos is a malacha. So it's. So it happens to be, I did look it up. The Rambam says, the Rambam goes like Rav Huna, meaning the statement to Rav Huna that the tchila is docha but not the sofo. And the Rambam says that if you have Friday's carbon left over, you can't burn that on Shabbos. That's the viewpoint of the Rambam, which he's basically following the statement of Rav Huna. Right, which is, again, within the sheets of Rav Yossi. The only layer that Rabbi Meir adds to the whole discussion is, can I make a new bonfire?
Right.
That's the layer that Rabbi Meir adds to the discussion. Itmar. Okay, now, the rest of the daf today is dedicated to a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that there's a constant fire on the Mizbeach, Eish Tamid, Ala Mizbeach, Lo Sichbe. There's a prohibition in the Torah. One of the 365 prohibitions in the Torah is not to extinguish the fire in the Mizbeach. Right, in our lifetime, I mean, up until this point in time, we didn't have to worry about that. Is sir, we don't have a mizbeach, we don't have to worry about extinguishing, but hopefully, b'mehir b'yameinu, we're going to have to worry. We're going to have a mizbeach, and the fire on the mizbeach is a constant, and the Torah says, lo sichbe, you're not allowed to put it out. Remember, we had a discussion, right, that if a person wanted to bring a karban of wine, meaning, and to sprinkle the wine on the mizbeach, so the Gemara over there had a discussion. What's the issue? When you sprinkle the wine on the Mizbeach, you're going to be extinguishing the fire. Meaning you're offering the carbon, but at the same time you're also extinguishing the fire. And we got onto the topic over there that's not your kavanah, it's not your intent, it's a davar shelo miskaven. Okay, anyway, but fine. But one of the prohibitions of the Torah is that you're not allowed to put the fire on the Mizbeach. It has to be constantly burning and lo sichba. Right, when they traveled, meaning obviously they had to put it out.
Right.
Okay, so, well, perhaps our discussion over here will help us understand a little bit.
They didn't travel.
The Isser of Lo Sichbe is constant. There's a constant Isser of not putting out the fire. That's not limited to Shabbos. Itmar, the Gemara quotes, Amechaba Ish Machta Umenora. Okay. So let's now do the following discussion. Right, as we've been discussing now these past couple of days, the fire on the Mizbeach is going to be the source. Right, everything comes from the fire on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Meaning I want to bring coals into the Mizbeach HaPanimi, where do I get those coals from? The top of the Mizbeach. I want to get fire for the menorah, where do I get the coals from? From the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The answer is always going to be the same. I want to get fire for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for Yom Kippur, where do I get it from? The Mizbeach HaChitzon. It's all fires emanate from the outside Mizbeach. Question asked the Gemara. What if I take a coal of the fire for the Ketores? What if I take a coal of the fire for the menorah? And ostensibly the same question would be true if I take it for the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. And now, while the coal is now in the pan, I put it out.
Intentionally,
unintentionally. The question is really simple. Did I violate the prohibition in the Torah of Lo Sichbe? Meaning, the prohibition in the Torah of Lo Sichbe is talking about fire that's on the Mizbeach. Maybe what the Gemara now is suggesting is that once I put the coals in the pan, maybe it's no longer considered on the Mizbeach. Now, do you think it's going to make a difference whether you're still on the top of the Mizbeach or maybe you're down from the Mizbeach? Well, if you think there's a difference, that's good, because the Gemara is about to think that. Okay, so you'll be in good company. So, question. Itmar. Menorah. So again, right now the question is simply, the coals now are in the pan, getting ready to be transported into the Heichal, either for the Mizbeach HaZahav, or for the menorah, or let's say it's Yom Kippur, it's Kodesh, and you're going into Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you put out the fire in the pan. So, Abai Amar Chayev, Rav Amar Pater. So Abai says, you're Chayev, meaning you still violated the prohibition of the Torah of Lo Sichba, and Rav says you're going to be Pater, because it's no longer considered Eish Ala Mizbeach. So Dekavi Barosh Hashem Mizbeach to Kolem Lo Pligi Dechayev. So the Gemara here now qualifies. When you're on the top of the Mizbeach, you're going to be Chayev. Even if you transfer the coals onto the pan, you're still going to be Chayev. Ki Pligi, why? Ostensibly because you're still on the Mizbeach. And those coals still have status of being on the Mizbeach. The debate between Abai and Rav is when you took the coals and you brought them down to the ground floor of the Azara. And then you put it out. Abai Amar Chayev Eish HaMizbeach. Abai says, look, it still has the status of Eish HaMizbeach. Rav Amar Pater Kevin Dinatka Natka. And Rava will say, no. Once you put the coals in the pan, and once you bring the pan down, so that's it. Meaning it no longer has the status of Eish HaMizbeach. And therefore, obviously, you shouldn't put it out. I mean, what would be the point of doing so? But if you did, you're not in violation of this prohibition of the Torah, of Lo Sichbah. So Allah had Amarav Nachman Amarav Abaravu Amori Gachals Meal Gabe Mizbech Vikiba Chayav. So the Gemara says, okay, but quoting Rav Nachman, quoting Rabbi Baravua, he says that if I bring coals down from the top of the Mizbech and I extinguish the coals, even though I brought them down, I'm going to be Chayav. That's a statement by Rav Nachman. Now, Keman Kabaye? So the Gemara says, that's strange. Now we have Rav Nachman passing like Abaye. And in other words, that's he right. Six occasions in Shas where we pass like Abaye, and this is not one of them. So the Gemara says that's a little bit strange that Rav Nachman is going to pass like Abaye. So I feel the same with Karava. Hasam lo intik lemitzvasa. Hacha intika lemitzvasa. So the Gemara says no. What we'll do is we'll strike a difference. We'll strike a distinction. Even Rava, who says that once you bring it down, it loses its status, we're going to qualify. That's only if you bring it down to for a reason, to use it for the Keturah, for the Mizbeach HaZav, to use it for the Menorah, to use it for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then it loses its status. But if all you did is just physically move its location from off the Mizbeach, it doesn't lose its status. It still has the status of Eish HaMizbeach, and therefore you're going to be in violation of Lo Sichbah. Unclear. Well, for whatever reason. But in other words, what basically the Gemara is saying is that Rava's arguing it's only going to lose its status, only when I'm moving it for a reason. Iga da Amri, the Gemara is going to now give a second version of this discussion. Now we have, according to the second version, once you transport the coals off the Mizbech and bring it down to the floor of the Azara, so then we have consensus that you are not violating the Isser of Lo Sichbah. The only debate between Abaye and Rava is if I do so on the top of the Mizbech. Abaye says, look, you're on the Mizbech, even though I transfer the coals into the pan, but I'm still on the top of the Mizbech, and therefore I'm going to be Chai. Rava Amar Pater, Kevin de Natka Natka. And Rava over here, it's a bigger Chiddush now. Rava says, even though I'm still on the top of the Mizbech, but once I transfer the coals into the pan, I have now changed its status. It no longer has status of Eish HaMizbeach. It now has the status of Eish, but not Eish HaMizbeach. So, Elahad Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravu Amar Gechals Me'al Gabe Mizbeach V'Kabachayev Kaman Lo Kabaye Lo Karava. Now, according to this version of the debate between Abaye and Rava, now Rav Nachman's really in a spot. Because he says that when I take coals from the Mizbech down to the ground, and I extinguish the coals even though they're on the ground, I'm going to be in violation of Lo Sichbah. Now here, it's the same statement to Rav Nachman, but here, it's not even like he's passing like Abaye. It's more egregious. He's passing like nobody. He's not holding like Rav, he's not holding like Abaye. So the Gemara says, "Hasam lo intik lemitzvasa, hacha intik lemitzvasa." And the Gemara says, "But again, we're going to make the same point that if I bring it down for no purpose, meaning for whatever reason, the person just brought it down, but not reassigning it, so then it doesn't have any new status, and then it's going to still have the status of Eish HaMizbeach. But if I bring it down for a purpose, and now we'll say even better, I don't even have to bring it down for a purpose. Once I move it into a pan for a purpose of Mizbeach HaZav, Menorah, Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then Intaka, meaning that now I've given it a new status, it no longer has the status of Eish HaMizbeach, and then I'm not going to be in violation. So that's that is how we will clear up, so to say, the statement of Rav Nachman.
If you transfer it into another utensil, you do a service with it, aren't you going to use Eish HaMizbeach to do the Torah? I mean, you're using it.
Correct, but the point now that we're saying, according to Rava, which is the conclusion, is that when I make that transfer, I've now given that fire new status. It's no longer status of Eish HaMizbeach.
But my question is, don't you need Eish HaMizbeach to burn the Keturah?
Correct, but this prohibition in the Torah of Lo Sichbah only talks about when the fire was on the Mizbeach. And it's a chiddush. Granted, it's a chiddush on Rava's part. Once I move it into a pan, so then it no longer, vis-a-vis the prohibition, Lo Sichbah, it no longer has Eish HaMizbeach. Just one last point, and then we'll conclude for today. So Tosos Yishonim points out that we have a Gemara that we saw not so long ago, okay, a long time ago, and that, right, the fire is so hot, we talked about this often, where things jump off the fire on the Mizbech. What if a coal flies, right, coal meaning wood, what if wood flies off the Mizbech? Do I have to bring it back up again? So the Gemara in Zvachim deals with this, and the Gemara in the Zvachim says, lo yachzer, meaning there's no need to bring it back up again. Why? Because once it flies off, that's it. It's done. It's over with. So, and so, right. And so, Tosfos Yeshanim wonders, now I'm a little bit confused. Rav Nachman says that when I take coals off the Mizbech for no express purpose, it still has to have Sevesh Mizbech, and I can't put it out. And if I put it out, I'm in violation of Lo Sichba when I bring it down. But meanwhile, the Gemara in Zvachim says that when fire jumps off the Mizbech, that's it, it's done. In other words, he says, your explanation is good. All Tosfos Yeshanim says is, Yesh Chiluk Bein Pakam Al Mizbech Lahorida. That's what Tosfos Yeshanim says. You have to draw a distinction, and maybe that's right. Maybe once the it's almost like the mizbeach, like throwing it off. Like, okay, I don't need you. I mean, we're giving a lot of. Okay. We'll come back. All right, Hadron Alach Tarif Bekapi, that is the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, we begin the fifth parak of Yom Kippur.